Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, you're here with me, Danko, on Your Money. And joining me on the show today is a familiar voice, Roshan. How are you doing this morning, Roshan?
Doing great, Dan. Great to be here with you. Nice to swap seats with you for a change.
That's a nice change. Well, let's get right into it. Today, we're going to be talking all about retirement, and that's something that many of us aspire to reach as early as possible. And to do that, it means securing a fat bag of cash and savings that is sufficient enough to fund your retirement lifestyle. Now, here in Singapore, various schemes such as the widely renowned CPF are put in place to help us in our journey to retirement. And as mandatory savings scheme, CPF is meant to provide us with a pool of basic retirement income. But for some of us, that might not just be enough.
Yeah, in fact, with many of us draining our CPF accounts to buy BTOs and condos, we may even struggle to rely on CPF to fund our retirement. That being said, we now turn to another scheme that could potentially help accelerate our race to financial freedom. Most of us might be familiar with this. It's the Supplementary Retirement Scheme, also known as SRS. Well, to tell us more about how the SRS system works and what we can do to integrate SRS with our overall retirement strategy, we're happy to invite on our show Elijah Lee, Financial Services Manager with Phillip Securities. Good morning, Elijah. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, I'm good.
Great, good morning, Elijah. Now, we've got a lot to break down on this topic, so why not let's just get right into it. Now, most of us will be aware that the SRS is a government scheme that's set up to help Singaporeans prepare for retirement, and that's in tandem with the CPF. So to start off, can you just give us a comprehensive breakdown of how the SRS system works?
Right, okay. So SRS is actually a voluntary scheme. It's actually been around since 2001, actually. So it's been around for 20 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been around quite long. So it's something that is meant to complement your CPF, as you have rightly put it. CPF savings were, of course, meant to provide for basic needs for housing, medical, and retirement. But, of course, there are some people that may require a bit more, just say, funds for retirement. Mm. So SRS was come up in 2001, and how it works is that you basically need to open a SRS account first with the bank, any of the three local banks, and right. after that, you may contribute money to it. And to encourage people to, you know, contribute money to it in order to save for retirement, the government allowed this to have some tax benefits. So contributions for to SRS are actually eligible for tax relief. Yeah, so that is the basic idea of SRS.
Okay. Thank you for that, Elijah, for setting the scene for us. Now, aside from the fact that we can withdraw SRS funds at any time, are there any differences between a CPF and SRS account?
Yes, I see there are some fundamental differences. So while it is true that you can withdraw SRS funds at any time, but any withdrawal before the statutory retirement age would actually incur a penalty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is just something that people need to take note of because, you know, it's not meant to be abused, the SRS system. If not, if you could withdraw at any time, then you'd be putting and withdrawing and getting a tax relief in between, right? So that's not how the system is envisioned to work. So how you should look at it is that, of course, when you withdraw, depending on when you withdraw, if you withdraw before the statutory retirement age, which as of this year has gone up to 63, you'll be slapped with a 5% premature withdrawal penalty.
Okay.
On top of that, the entire sum you withdraw is actually subjected to income tax because it will be treated as income. So the idea is that you withdraw it after 63, okay, and they will only there won't be that premature withdrawal penalty. You will also only have to pay tax on half of the withdrawal amount because only half of that is treated as your income for retirement purposes. So in this vein, you would actually want to withdraw after you start working, which also means one thing, you don't have to withdraw at 63. I have some clients who intend to work till like 65 and then after withdraw their SRS from 65 to 75. So there is no fixed age that you are required to withdraw SRS. It's more of when you stop working, then you have no other active income, you can start to withdraw your SRS. So contrast this to CPF, okay, whereby CPF says that, okay, CPF Life starts paying you at 65. And of course, at 55, if you have set aside the full retirement sum, you can actually withdraw the rest of your balances in SA and OA. So that's how CPF works. But SRS is, you know, slightly different. And one more thing to note is that there is no withdrawal time limit for CPF. You could actually let your money compound all the way to 70, 80, and then you can start to withdraw it. But for SRF, one important thing to note is that when you start your first withdrawal, okay, so let's say you start it after 63, okay, you are given 10 years to withdraw from SRF. So you have to withdraw everything by 72. Yeah. Ah, so okay. That is just something that you must plan carefully. So SRF is something that can help, I feel, largely in the earlier parts of our retirement. Mm. Okay, so let's say maybe you retire at 65. You could then withdraw your SRF from 65 to 74. Those extra funds can actually complement your initial retirement lifestyle where, you know, it's likely that you will still be very active in the first half of retirement. You might want to go for more holidays.
Travel, probably. Yeah.
Your travel, yeah. You may have hobbies that you want to do while you still have the health to, like fishing or, you know, things like that. Right. So SRS is very helpful in complementing the initial part of your retirement lifestyle. Mm. Yeah. So one more very big difference, which due to today I'm actually getting some questions about this, is that SRS, despite the name Supplementary Retirement Scheme, it only pays baseline bank interest. Okay, so I have some clients who actually confuse that with retirement account interest, and they're like, you know, oh, it doesn't pay 4%. I'm like, no, so it's actually the bank interest. So when you put your money inside, yeah, you just don't get bank interest. So you really should do something about SRS, which is another thing I would like to speak about later on. But yeah, there is a study, and there's quite a fair bit of SRS money that actually unused.
Okay.
So yeah, so if you're talking about the difference between SRS and CPF, those are some of the key differences, I would say.
Yeah, certainly you set up a comprehensive picture about the SRS, but Elijah, sorry, I have to ask. Isn't contributing to CPF enough? Why would I lock my money in twice, you know, almost in another account?
Okay, so that's a very good question. Yeah, CPF, okay, contributing to CPF actually would probably give you a very baseline level of retirement. So, you know, if that is enough for you, then maybe CPF is enough for you. But over the years, you know, as Singapore has become a more affluent society, I think people do have that standard of living that they aspire to. Right. So to continue that standard of living in retirement, additional funds are needed. So this is where I feel that SRS can come in as a complement to CPF. It's not meant to replace CPF, but it's meant to complement it, ensure that you get, you know, a little extra. Yeah. So that's how I would think SRS can help in one's retirement.
Now, that's nice to hear. All right. Now, who is eligible to open an SRS account and what requirements do we need to be aware of?
Okay, you can open an SRS account as long as you are above 18 and not an undischarged bankrupt, and you just need to open it with the local bank. So you can actually do this online. So, you know, now with COVID, ever since COVID, a lot of things have become digital. So I think it's a very good thing that you can probably open your SRS account through the mobile banking app on your phone. I did.
Yeah.
So I opened mine with POSB, not that I'm endorsing any bank in particular, but I did online.
It's
very straightforward. You don't have to go down and queue at the banks, unlike, you know, nowadays you see a lot of queues for fixed deposits. Yeah, you don't have to do that anymore. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful to know, you know, the convenience of technology and how it's accelerated the signing up process. Now, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Money and Me, and we're joined by Elijah Lee, the Financial Services Manager at Phillips Securities, to tell us more about everything you need to know about the Supplementary Retirement Scheme, or SRS for short. Now, Elijah, yes, you've mentioned, unlike CPF, which allows you to deposit and not withdraw funds, you can withdraw your SRS accounts fund whenever you want. So then what are the limitations and downsides to SRS contributions?
Okay, so one thing I would say is that when you contribute SRS, right? Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, if you withdraw before the age of statutory retirement age, right, you will incur that penalty. So you shouldn't withdraw before that, although there's that flexibility too. So if you contribute to SRS, I would say that treat it as money that, you know, you have set aside for retirement. You shouldn't just take it as you need it. Just take it that you won't be able to access it till you are 63 or 62, depending on when you open your SRS account. So that is just one thing to note. So liquid cash, of course, is gone. I actually was working with someone a couple of months back, and he was asking me this, and he really liked the idea of SRS after I explained it to him, but his liquid cash was low. So this year, he said that, well, I don't think I can contribute so much. He put 5,000 first. So at least that's some measure of tax relief there. But he said that, you know, now knowing the benefits of SRS, he would actually want to make the full contribution every year, and he's planned his cash flow accordingly next year. But so you can see that, you know, SRS, you have to contribute with cash, meaning that you may lose some liquidity. So this is something that you have to factor in, as opposed to CPF, which, you know, is automatic. You have no say, you know, when you work and you get your salary, your bonuses, whatever needs to go to CPF will be, you'll be computed and you'll just go. So you don't really do it, but SRS, you get the cash first and then you must make a conscious decision to put it into the SRS account.
Thank you for that, Elijah. Now, I want to talk about the long term, right? I mean, I'm far away off 65, 63, the retirement age. Yeah. But when we are good to withdraw during retirement, should I then do it in a lump sum? What's your take on this?
Okay, so for SRS, right, you have, as I mentioned earlier, you have 10 years to withdraw after you start your first withdrawal. But you don't have to withdraw over 10 lump sums. You can actually make multiple withdrawals over over the 10 years.
Okay.
So that is just one thing to note. So something to point out is that going back to SRS, you put your cash in SRS, right? And as I mentioned, the interest rate is very low. So you should always deploy your SRS money to work for you. Of course, what you deploy in, it can depend, depending on your appetite, risk appetite, your time horizon, so on and so forth. So for, like, say, people in their 40s, they have probably like 20 years before they can take out SRS.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a pretty good amount of time for the SRS money to go. You definitely want SRS money to go for retirement because it'll mean that you have more for retirement. All right, so, you know, someone with a 20 horizon, they could look at investing. There's FDs, there's SBs, fixed income, stocks, REITs, unit trusts, retirement plans. It all depends on what they want to do. But when taking out, okay, so something interesting to note is that previously when you withdraw from SRS, you had to sell the investment and then withdraw the SRS as cash. Now, what if you had you wanted to, say, hold on to it? Let's say you use your SRS money to buy OCBC Bank during the dip 2 years ago in March. So you're getting a good price, but now you have to liquidate and then you withdraw it as cash and then you buy back in. That incurs some transaction costs. So the good news is that SRS, right, you can actually just withdraw your investment as the investment and you would actually be taxed based on the value of the investment at the point of withdrawal.
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah, so that's just something to think of. So I always tell my clients, if you're holding on to some stocks that you see that you you want to hold on for a long term in SRS, wait for a market low before you transfer the stocks out to a CDP.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's just one tip. So basically, yes, you can withdraw SRS. Just take note of how much you withdraw. So I wouldn't say a lump sum is necessarily the best way. Do sit down and plan things through and have a little bit of flexibility in how you want to withdraw, because especially if you invest your SRS into investments, markets move, right? So you have to be prepared to adapt to the market situation. If the valuation of something is too high, you feel it will come out later, maybe don't withdraw it just yet. Right?
Okay. Yeah. So now you've touched on investments in SRS, right? Let's just dive deeper into it. And what are our options in terms of where we can invest our funds?
Okay, so there are many options for SRS investments. Of course, we won't be able to touch on everything in detail. But
no worries.
Let's just start with like simple, very straightforward stuff. Like you can put SRS monies in FDs.
Okay.
Right? You can put SRS monies in SSBs. And that will be a lot better than just leaving it sitting in the SRS account, earning nothing. So, interesting statistics. I don't know if this is still true, but a couple of years back, there was an article in Sunday Times stating that a few billion of SRS money was actually not being touched. They're just sitting there, which is a little sad. So hopefully, if any listener has had SRS monies in the bank doing nothing, I hope I've encouraged you to do something about it. Right. So yeah, that was like 2018 or 19, even 2021, I think I saw an article saying that there are still a few billion sitting in SRS, but the percentage has come down. So yeah, so SRS, you can use it to, even you put in the FD, it's better than leaving it there, right? So you've got FDs and SSBs, and you can even buy some, say, retirement plans or savings plans with SRS, which will allow you to, you know, grow your money over the long horizon. FDs and SSBs, we know, aren't that long. FDs are like 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years. SSBs at most 10 years, and then you have to see what the rates are. So actually, I prefer to, you know, leave my cash to do SSBs because I can see the coupons. Whereas for SSBs, you do it with SRS, the coupons go back to SRS, and you don't really get to enjoy that. Unless you're very close to 63. So retirement plans is another safe option. So all these are what I call promise-based investments, meaning that there is a certain level of guarantee you have to that. Okay. So you are certain that, you know, you won't lose money. Mm. So on REIT-based side, so you can invest in SRS. We have Singapore listed stocks and ETFs. You can definitely buy some of that. But of course, you will take on market risk. Mm-hmm. So you have to make your decisions wisely. And then, of course, you have mutual funds. You can buy mutual funds on with SRS monies. And I think one interesting thing to note is that, you know, for stocks, you can only buy Singapore listed stocks, ETFs. But for mutual funds, because they are invested in overseas markets, so you can actually tap into the foreign markets with your SRS monies. You couldn't, for example, directly buy US stocks with SRS monies, but you could buy, say, a US mutual fund which invests in US companies, but, you know, is in Singapore, so you can buy it with SRS monies.
Right. And just
so these are your options, but every single option has its pros and cons. I need to stress that, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, just to recap what you've mentioned, so our options are basically SSBs, fixed deposits, endowment plans, and even index funds, right? And Singapore listed stocks.
Singapore listed stocks as well,
right.
Yes.
So then, that being said, how do we decide which approved options are best for us to reap the safest and perhaps the best returns by the time we retire?
Okay, so when you come to this topic, I would say I think it's important to integrate your SRS with your overall retirement planning, because you also need to have an idea of outside of SRS, what else do I have available for retirement? And if, for example, I have enough for retirement, okay, outside of SRS, can I delay my SRS withdrawals to, say, a little bit later, maybe at 70, so that I can grow it a bit further? So all of these matter. So SRS itself, I would say that, you know, there is no single best way to invest it. Okay, so, okay, here's an example. If you have a lot of funds outside of SRS, then you may not actually need to invest your SRS aggressively. Maybe SRS to you was more of a tax reduction vehicle. Okay, but of course, still invest it to grow it a bit. But if, let's say, out of SRS, you know, you don't have too much, you may want to, you know, go for a little bit more aggressive. Maybe you want to do your stocks and your mutual funds so they can have a bigger pool by the time you retire. And of course, one more thing to take note is, do check like how much you project your SRS to grow to, because as I mentioned, when you withdraw SRS after the statutory retirement age, half of that is subject to income tax. So in Singapore, okay, so this is just something I wanted to mention earlier. In Singapore, if you have taxable income of less than 20,000, you don't pay any income tax. So if you withdraw SRS and you any withdrawal in that year is less than 40,000, you will be considered having withdrawn only 50% of that to be taxed. So that will be less than 20,000. You don't have to pay tax.
Wow.
So
okay.
Yeah. So something to take note lah. If your SRS grow to a lot, right, you will end up paying a little bit of tax when you withdraw. Mm-hmm. But that is in future dollars. So I will always tell my clients, don't worry too much. Okay. If you put SRS, it probably means you save something like $1,000+ of tax. And you do that for like 20 years, you save something like $20,000 of tax. If you withdraw in future and the government tax you like $50, I think that's not really something to worry about.
Small price to play, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of factors at play here. Probably not something that can be covered in a 25-minute conversation, but all these are the things that I will encourage you to think about. So I would say the integration with your overall retirement strategy is very important, because you want to know what you are getting at what age, how much is coming from the CPF, how much is coming from other sources, how much is coming from SRS, and then you will be able to better figure out when you should withdraw from SRS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. That's absolutely enlightening, Elijah. Thank you so much for joining us on Money FM to shed some light on this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elijah. We've been speaking with Elijah Lee, Financial Services Manager at Phillips Securities, about everything you need to know about the Supplementary Retirement Scheme and how it can be integrated as part of your overall retirement strategy.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.